townhall.com.
News on WBOB, AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Good morning, I'm Nikki Whaley. The TSA wants to prepare travelers who were headed to the airport over the holiday weekend. Spokesman Carrie Quichette says infrequent flyers may not know the 311 rule.
If you're traveling with liquid gels or aerosols in your carry-on bag, you need to have them all in one quart-sized bag, and each of those individual items must be 3.4 ounces or less.
Now, she adds most of the problems at the airports can be avoided if passengers arrive at least 2 hours before their flight. She says people need to double check their carry-on bags before arriving at the airport to make sure no weapons are inside. Getting Thanksgiving dinner ready could be difficult for some JEA customers. The utility issued a boil water advisory for customers in Northwest St. Johns County. The notice was issued after E. coli was found Monday at a treatment plant. The JEA expects the advisory to be in effect until Thanksgiving morning. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Good morning. If you are on the Buckman Bridge going south toward Mandarin, there's a broken down car and you'll see it in the left breakdown lane. I-95, I-10, and JTB are problem free. We're expecting a mix of sun and clouds today and a high of 79. This evening, mainly clear. 59, the overnight low. Right now, it's 52 here at WBOB. Here's some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. State Senator Randolph Bracey has filed a bill that would prohibit discrimination based on a person's hairstyle. The legislation has been seen as beneficial to black women in Florida who feel pressured to wear wigs or use chemical hair relaxers, fearing not doing so could hurt their careers. President Trump held a rally in Sunrise, Florida on Tuesday, the first public event for the president here in the Sunshine State since officially changing his legal residence from New York City to Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach. And Governor Ron DeSantis is urging the Florida legislature to pass a mandatory e-verify requirement in the upcoming legislative session.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the Ed Dean Show. Ron Davis covering for Ed this morning. I'm here with Matt Schellenberg, Lake Ray, and then Roger Henderson's in there making sure that everything runs smoothly. Big question this morning on the eve of Thanksgiving. We've learned in the last 24 hours that evidently there is a movement by the left to change the name of Thanksgiving. Have we finally seen political correctness gone too far? Dan, what are your thoughts on it? First of all, what are you cooking, or are you having your Thanksgiving dinner catered?
Oh, no, I'm going over to my brother's, and I think he's cooking.
So you get to relax.
Yes. The thing about Thanksgiving, that they want to change it to National Day of Mourning, I believe it's the left always wants to see things on the... They don't like us to appreciate America. I am actually the teacher that was removed from a school and sent somewhere else because I tried to get kids to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. You see, there was an old song. I'll be 65 in another couple of months, and I remember an old song. The song was you want to accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative. Well, the left is the exact opposite. They want to accentuate the negative about America and eliminate anything positive. Therefore, instead of Thanksgiving, no, National Day of Mourning. You gotta hate our country and think, you know, only that we're just so terrible. This is why a lot of kids don't want to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. And the left is doing a great job of convincing young people that we're this horrible, rotten, racist, evil country. And as Rush Limbaugh says, the left is never done. They get one little victory or something, then they're pushing further.
Well, Dan, you're kind of on the front line. I mean, you're standing up in front of the younger people that, you know, that are often the topic of our discussions in the morning about, you know, the direction of the country. Do you think that message, and I know it may be a little bit odd given the fact that you had an issue with the Pledge of Allegiance, but is that message really resonating with the youth, or do we really have more hope than a lot of us feel like we have?
Well, I have hope. I think we're in a battle. We have to really realize we're in a big battle. I have hope because of one reason, because I think Trump is going to get reelected. I hope, I pray he does. And I think that, I think despite all the left's efforts, I think there are going to be some young people that are going to be smart enough to see through this nonsense that we're such a horrible... See, the left wants to pretend that there's been no progress on civil rights. There's been no progress anywhere. We're still this rotten, racist nation, which is such a total lie. But I don't think that the majority of kids are so stupid that they're going to fall for that forever. But the left is trying like hell to make them fall for that, because that's how they get elected.
The kids that didn't stand for the Pledge of Allegiance in your class, was it? Do you think it was a lack of patriotism, or was it just merely peer pressure, or are they just too caught up in their cell phones and things like that to care?
It's probably all three, but I think it's largely a lack of patriotism. The kids, by the way, I was at a school, and for 2 days, nobody stood except me. The third day, I wrote something up on the board just saying how we've made progress in civil rights and everything, but and that was deemed too horrible because, you know, the left is always offended. If you tell anything that's truthful, it's offensive.
Well, I always wondered in the context of that, the kids that were sitting, were they sitting because there was peer pressure to sit? In other words, was it negative? Because, you know, in the movement against the, you know, with the Kaepernick and the NFL issue and kneeling for the flag, was that an issue where the kids really wanted to stand, but there was peer pressure not to, or was it they just didn't care?
I think it was peer pressure not to. And I think they're taught that there is a big peer pressure, and they're impressed with these idiots like Kaepernick. And but also, you got to understand, not one student, there were about 30 kids in the class, and these kids are like 11th graders, maybe 12th graders. These were older kids, you know, almost adults. Not one out of about 30 stood the first 2 days. Then when I wrote something on the board, two kids stood along with me.
How were they treated?
How were those kids treated?
Yeah, how did their classmates treat them? Did they ignore them? Did they say things?
These were homeroom kids, so I only had them for half an hour. So I didn't see anybody taunt those kids or say anything to them, the two that stood up.
I tend to agree with, it's the peer pressure of not standing. It's easy just not to do everything, because everybody in that environment wants to be liked, as in society. It's very difficult to be that one or two persons to stand up. But what happens is that one person stands up, generally speaking, other people will do it. But they need, like anything else, they need that first person to do it before anything else happens.
And I was curious whether or not these kids felt that if they stood up, they would be called racist, or if there was, in other words, a racial connotation to that. Was that stronger than the patriotic feeling?
But Ron, I think where we're at on all this is we're talking about those on the left. Let's be honest, these are not people that are on the left. There's a lot of people who are liberal-minded people that are good, patriotic. They love our country. They may not like where we are, but they may want to change things that we do. But these are Marxist. Let's just call them what they are. They're Marxist, and they want to undermine our Constitution. And so that's why we're having discussions about Thanksgiving. Right.
And I think there's also these people, what they are. And I think there may be an assumption, Ron, that could be wrong, that the two kids who stood with him were not black kids. They very well could have been.
And they could have been, and I should have probably asked that. My problem is this, and he emphasized that 30 kids, every kid sat. And to me, that indicates we've got a problem going forward. If every kid in that class sits and only two kids stand up after he's done, whether we call them leftists or Marxists or whether we say they're just middle of the road, they're not the problem, there clearly is a problem when every kid during the Pledge of Allegiance
sits. But you just referenced a few minutes ago that the people that are coming out for the Trump rally, the people of the United States are sick and tired of being told that we're bad, evil, terrible people. That doesn't mean that there haven't been some things that have been wrong. It doesn't mean that we're, you know, clean and clear of what our past has been. But the fact is we have a system. We have a republic that has corrected a lot of things and given opportunity to virtually millions and millions of people.
Hey, Lake and Ron and Roger, how about this? It has been historically demonstrated that Republicans, generally speaking, are more charity giving than the Democrats. And this is what you're seeing on the presidential election. I mean, cycle. You can ask all those Democrats. Al Gore gave very little. I think if you looked at all the general people that love America, they understand what a gift that they've been given in the free enterprise system, and they're incredibly generous to help people going forward.
I think part of the reason for that, though, is those on the left, Democrats, they tend to think their taxes are their charitable contribution.
Right.
And therefore, they, as long as they're paying their taxes, you know, and making sure everybody else pays as much as possible, you know, the, quote, rich paying their fair share, then they're contributing to what they consider charity. It's not voluntary, but it's mandatory. But that's how they look at charity, I think, in many cases.
And I agree with your point, Lake. I guess the issue I have is 50% of the American population, let's say 45%, agrees with you and I on that issue. Deeply patriotic, we do this, and I think there's probably some people on the left. But going forward, and if you look at, you know, where we're at with the youth today, when you have 30 kids sitting, when we've all been ingrained, when you hear the Pledge of Allegiance, you stand and put your hand. I mean, it's an ingrained response to us. It's no longer an ingrained response. And I worry about, is that a lack of patriotism, or is the left winning the argument that we should be ashamed of this country and who we are?
But we're letting somebody else frame the conversation, Ron. It's just like we shouldn't even be talking about somebody wanting to change the name of Thanksgiving. We're the conservatives. We're the ones who are out. We're engaging the conversation with them instead of looking at them and saying, you people are absolutely foolish. And that's the problem, is that we're engaging them. We call the guy who's a leaker a whistleblower. He is a leaker. He is corrupt through and through. And we call them whistleblowers because somebody else set the stage and called them a whistleblower.
And very likely did not hear it firsthand, but, you know, got secondhand information because someone told him that they heard someone else tell them, and that makes him
whistleblower. That's very clear. Absolutely, yeah. Was not firsthand. I mean, he even in his own report,
right.
It was clear that he none of this was firsthand.
But, Ron, we also are engaging the same thing. Well, we're going to call him a whistleblower, and no news outlets are even saying who this guy is, yet they know full and well who he is.
No. Give us a call here.
Can we bring this up after? Because I have a comment about that.
904-831-0600. Give us a call. Let's talk about the issue. Are we improperly engaging the Democrats on this issue?
Okay, and who's the leaker? Let's take a look at what's going on the roads at 295 South St. Augustine Road. There is an accident. It looks like the FHP has arrived, and they are helping that situation with both cars. And in St. Johns County, I-95 North State Road 206, there's a crash there this morning.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. One of the things we're frequently asked for advice on is how much to spend on an engagement ring. The guideline most often used is the equivalent of 2 months' salary. But I'll say this, the price you pay for a diamond is directly related to its beauty. If somebody wants a big, cheap diamond, I'll guarantee you it's poor diamond quality-wise, and that's not what we carry at Underwoods. But if you want a diamond with fine color, clarity, and cut to the right specifications for maximum beauty, these are the kind of diamonds we carefully select at Underwoods. You see, when somebody's been married for a long time, they don't always remember what they paid for the engagement ring. They do remember the sacrifice they made to pay for it. And when you consider that a diamond engagement ring will be worn and looked at by her every day for the rest of her life, most people agree that a really fine quality diamond ought to be considered. That's what we specialize in at Underwoods and have for over 90 years.
I served in the United States military for 20 years and 3 days. When I came home, things were being noticed by my wife. She's the one that told me to go get help. I literally started crying the first appointment. I have PTSD with anxiety, so I was introduced into the world of the service dog. Canines for Warriors saves shelter dogs and trains them to be service dogs for veterans. 90% of the dogs from Canines are rescues. Things before I had Hannah were pretty rough. I couldn't walk into a store, into a movie theater. And with Hannah, I have that ability to do that. She's by my side 24/7. It was not just one life that they saved. I believe they saved both of our lives. It allows me to be that husband, to be that father. I feel a part of me is coming back that I used to be before I deployed.
Hey, love you.
Thank you, Daddy.
Your monthly donation of $22 or more will save lives now. Become a guard dog and support Canines for Warriors. Lines are open now. Call 1-800-959-1059 and visit www.caninesforwarriors.org.
American Electrical Contracting over on St. Augustine Road is expanding, and they need electricians. They offer top wages along with a benefit plan second to none. Paid holidays, vacation, 401k with match, bonus plan for all employees. A third-year electrician will get about 6 weeks' pay they did not have to work for. That's right, 6 weeks. 3 weeks vacation, six paid holidays, 2 weeks pay for bonus. Who does that? American Electrical. That's who. Call 737-7770 or drop by their office on St. Augustine Road.
Great news, folks. The Lighthouse Retirement Hour is finally available everywhere you listen on this great radio station Saturday and Sundays, or grab the iTunes podcast, the Spotify podcast, iHeart podcast, and coming soon to every device where you can say Siri or Alexa. If you love the combination of timely investing news, great conservative politics, you're going to love this show no matter how you listen. Get all the links on my website, lighthouseretirement.com.
Today, a mix of sun and clouds and a high of 79. Tonight, mainly clear, 59 the overnight low. Right now, it is 52 here at WBOB.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9, Dennis Prager at noon. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Governor Ron DeSantis is urging the Florida legislature to pass a mandatory e-verify requirement in the upcoming legislative session. State Senator Randolph Bracey has filed a bill that would prohibit discrimination based on a person's hairstyle. The legislation is seen as beneficial to black women in Florida who feel pressured to wear wigs or use chemical relaxers, fearing not doing so could hurt their careers. President Trump held a rally in Sunrise, Florida on Tuesday, the first public event for the president in the Sunshine State since officially changing his legal residence from New York City to Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Good morning. Welcome to the Ed Dean Show on WBOB. I'm Ron Davis covering for Ed here this morning. I am here with Matt Schellenberg, Lake Ray, and Roger Henderson. Real quick, don't forget everybody, Ed's been talking about this, but he's having his third annual party December 7th at the Holiday Inn over off of Bay Meadows and 295. It's going to be, if you haven't been, it is a lot of fun. Be a lot of interesting people there, a lot of great conversations, a great chance to meet Ed, and Ed gives away a ton of prizes and does everything he can to make sure that he gets around and meets everybody. So if you haven't already emailed him to request the tickets, and I think he's pretty close to maxing out, shoot an email to him at ed@wbob.com and let him know how many you want. And if there's still some left, he'll let you know and make sure that you're covered. We were talking about, before
standing
the break.
Standing up, and this is a school issue. I went to Grandparents Day. Obviously, I'm a grandparent. And first of all, it is a parochial school, but the demonstration is everybody stood for the Pledge of Allegiance, and that was after a prayer was being said. And I think that's the difference of people looking at going forward. They want children to have that respect for who they are and what a blessing it is to live in America. And I think that's lost a lot of times on this gibberish that these people bring up about America. That we're not a perfect people. We're not perfect people. But we're trying to get better every day, and talking would be very helpful. One other thing, Ed, you've been bringing it up, to Roger all the time about President Trump moving here. Imagine how much money he saves in taxes by moving to Florida.
Yeah,
it's lost on a lot of people, but mm-hmm. a lot of people from New York mm-hmm. and Connecticut, they're all leaving them could come to Florida because of taxes.
And he could have done that years ago, but didn't. And I think, being a New York City guy all of his life, there was probably a sense of, community he had there. But the way the state of New York is treating him right now, I think he feels he's got friends here in Florida.
Yep.
And he wants to, and it's going to benefit our economy probably to a big degree,
But I think you also have to look at the number of people that are moving from these states into other states. Those that are moving out of Illinois, out of the Northeast, and moving down here. These are all states that have personal income tax. They have different high-end taxes that are impacting them personally or in their corporations. And the fact is that historically they had that as a write-off on their taxes, on their federal taxes. When the tax legislation was passed a couple of years ago, that changed. And they don't get to take that off. They get a very limited amount that they can take off. So people are now motivated to leave. The problem is they're coming down. They're going to try to bring their tax and spend policies down here to
I don't know. The people that are leaving might be Dan Change. But think of it. All these big companies, we're going to go to the – but even look at the way that democracies or Democrats are running cities and states. California, perfect example. They have so – regulated the Pacific Gas and electric. They're actually some communities are electricity are being turned off for 6 hours, 24 hours. That's almost like a third world kind of.
Well, they're doing that because they're concerned about the wildfires.
I understand that. That's because they haven't taken care of the transmission lines for 50, 60 years. Anyway.
All right. So let's take a couple calls here. Getting back to the Pledge of Allegiance issue. Craig, how are you this morning?
Hey, guys, how are you doing? Roger and guests, how are y'all doing?
Fine. Doing great. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, so are you cooking or are you having it catered?
We're doing a little bit of cooking, but also we're going to go out to dinner Thanksgiving. So we decided to try something different this year. So
wow. It's
just my wife and kids this year. Family's doing other things. So we're going to have we're going to go out to town center and have a nice dinner, or lunch. And so then we'll also cook some stuff because everybody wants some Thanksgiving food around 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock on a Thursday night, So
oh, yeah.
We'll have that available if the kids want that.
Please. So you were calling in about the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, a couple of things. One quick comment about the gentleman in the classroom. I think what really does detriment is that whenever that first came out, every blurb I heard on the news was very negative. Even the news that was read by Roger, I know Roger's a great guy, but the little clip that they have him read about, it vilifies this guy, makes him sound like he's evil because of what he wrote on the board. And nobody really understood at first what he wrote on there. And then you would hear the mother screaming and talking about how, this guy's not my, he's a whatever teacher, he shouldn't be teaching history and all that. And nobody really understood and sat down. Now it's kind of like the old proverbial, they put it in the back of the newspaper now when it comes out, and nobody's really reading and understanding what really this guy was writing. And so all we hear is the negativity in the beginning. So that was one thing. And then the last thing is my hopes were brought up during my daughter played volleyball, high school volleyball. And every game I went to, I kind of looked around. Again, it's not a huge crowd, but it's a mixed crowd. And one game I saw a young black woman with her child. And I was just looking around. We were doing the Pledge of Allegiance, and I saw her moving, and I looked over at her. And she was having the little boy turn around and put his hand on his heart and showing him how to do it. So that made me think, black, white, oriental, whatever we are, we're all Americans, and she's teaching her son to do it the right way. So that gave me a little bit of hope for the future.
That's great to hear. Okay. Have a happy Thanksgiving,
yeah,
Craig.
Thanks, Craig.
Let's go to Steven. Steven, we were talking earlier about changing the name of Thanksgiving. Have we finally reached the point of no return in political correctness?
Yes, Stephen from Orange Park. Thank you. Keep up the great work. Y'all are phenomenal. Outstanding. Five star. Make a long story short, late 70s, 80s, and early 90s before I retired, I was Special Operations Branch of the military. I traveled all over the world. The happiest day was whether I was home or on the restricted base or wherever I was stationed or at the embassy was when we can sit down together and say Happy Thanksgiving. Eat a meal.
That's
and
great.
The other thing about the Pledge of Allegiance, it really hits the heart because we have the best flag, citizens, and country in the world, and go Trump. I'm going to leave you because okay. I have
Happy Thanksgiving, Stephen. Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving, Stephen. Thank you. And thank you for your service to the country. 295 South, St. Augustine Road, there has been an accident. 95 North at State Road 206, another crash there as traffic delayed and cars in both the inside as well as the outside emergency lanes this morning.
This traffic report is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry with 400,000 members. They've shared over $2 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. And with MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. And that's a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell. And as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River, where the weather conditions are perfect for one crop, cotton. My bed sheets are ultra soft, breathable, and extremely durable. They come in a variety of colors, and now for a limited time, when you use your promo code, I'll give you my best offer ever. Buy one set of my Giza Dream Sheets and get another set absolutely free. I guarantee they're going to be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
For limited time, go to MyPillow.com. When you buy a set of Giza Sheets, Mike will give you a set of Giza Sheets for free when you use promo code WBOB or call 800-950-9024 and give them promo code WBOB for this fantastic offer.
And today we'll see a mix of sunshine and cloudiness, a high of 79. This evening, May clear, 59 the overnight low. Right now it is 52 here at WBOB.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM WBOB.
And you are listening to the Ed Dean Morning Show, Roger, along with Lake Ray and Matt Schellenberg, all here together and filling in for Ed here on this extended Thanksgiving holiday for Ed, at least. Welcoming your calls, too, at 904-831-0600, 904-831-0600. Call us up. Let us know. Ron, you've got the standing question of the morning. You know, are you going to do your Thanksgiving catered, at least in part? You're going to do it yourself, and I'm asking whether or not you like the oven-roasted, the deep-fried, or the smoked turkey. All kind of different ways to celebrate Thanksgiving. We'll be back.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Trump has kicked off his Thanksgiving holiday break with a rally last night in Sunrise, Florida. The president railing against impeachment, saying it's an illegitimate extension of the Russia hoax. If it's not the high winds, it's the snow, and in some cases it's both that's messing with holiday travel. The Pacific Northwest is being buffeted by high winds, heavy snow across the Rockies, and snow and rain in parts of the Midwest and the Ohio Valley. Three plant workers injured early today when a petrochemical plant in East Texas blew up, the explosion shattering windows and houses several miles around. On Wall Street, Dow futures now down 4.5 points, NASDAQ futures up 17, S&P futures 4 points higher ahead of this morning's opening bell. More details at SRN News.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB News.
Good morning, I'm Nikki Whaley. Jacksonville shoppers are unhappy about losing Publix, may soon have another option. The city council yesterday discussed an incentives package to bring Winn-Dixie to Northside's Gateway Shopping Center. Now, Winn-Dixie would occupy the spot on Norwood Avenue that Publix will vacate next month. The incentives include an $850,000 grant to help renovate the building, and a vote to approve the offer could take place next month. Grocery stores across the state are getting ready for the Thanksgiving holiday, and the American Farm Bureau Federation says that a cost on average this year's fees for 10 people is $48.91, or just a little under $5 per person. The turkey cost slightly less than this time last year at $20.80 for a 16-pound bird. Ham served along with turkey at half of the dinners in the country, which boosts the cost of the dinner by about $14. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Good morning. If you're an I-10 going east right around mile marker 344, look out for a broken down car. St. Johns County, 95 South. At State Road 207, there has been an accident. 295 South at St. Augustine Road, another crash. And 95 North at 206, we're looking at a wreck there too. Mix of sun and clouds today, a high of 79. This evening, mainly clear. 59 will be the overnight low. Right now, it is 52 here at WBOB. Here's some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. President Trump held a rally in Sunrise on Tuesday, the first public event for the president of the Sunshine State since officially changing his legal residence from Trump Tower in New York City to Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach. Governor Ron DeSantis is urging the Florida legislature to pass a mandatory e-verify requirement in the upcoming session. And State Senator Randolph Bracey has filed a bill that would prohibit discrimination based on a person's hairstyle. The legislation is seen as beneficial to black women in Florida who feel pressured to wear wigs or use chemical hair relaxers, fearing not doing so could hurt their careers.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600. 831-0600 or email ed at wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the Ed Dean Show. My name is Ron Davis. I am desperately trying this morning to fill in the shoes of Ed Dean. I have with us Matt Schellenberg, Lake Ray, and then Roger Henderson's trying to tie it all together. Had some questions this morning. One is the most pressing. Are you cooking your Thanksgiving feast tomorrow? Or are you having it catered? Next question that you know, asking people to call in about is have we gone too far on political correctness now that they're wanting to? There's a discussion about changing the name of Thanksgiving. A final issue we'd like to try to get you to weigh in on is the impeachment. Where's the next drama? Do you agree with Matt that the drama is that there won't be an impeachment vote at all? Do you agree with me that the drama is actually how many Democrats will vote against it? Or do you believe, or do you agree with Roger?
Hey, you whatchamacallit, it's fine.
Do you agree with Roger that the drama is actually going to be played out in the Senate in the hearings with the testimony? But, guys, I would like to go back to, we had a call earlier, Craig, and he brought up a topic about headlines. You know, and I agree with Craig. I think one of the problems we have is the media hides so much information in headlines, and we have become a society where we don't read beyond headlines. Too many people just read the headlines and think they've got the answer.
Well, people are busy. That's the lifestyle today. Well, people want it in quick, concise bites, and you know they got to move on. They just want to know basically what's happening, unless they really are into it.
When we throw around terms fake media, mm-hmm. and I think the media takes offense to that because they think what we're saying is they're lying. That's not what I mean. Let me give you a quick example. Go back to the Romney campaign when they finally released his tax records. The headlines were, Romney only pays 17% in taxes. Well, I think that probably 90% of American public that actually pays their federal income taxes doesn't even know what tax bracket they're in. They just see a number where it's at. So they, oh, well, the media is making a big fuss about it. 17%, that must be bad. But let's flip the headline around. Romney pays $7.2 million in taxes as a headline instead of, I think suddenly now people sit back and say, wow, that's a lot of money. Thank God I don't have to pay that. That's what I'm when I have the phrase fake media, that's what I'm talking about. We're gonna take a couple calls here, but I want to kind of get into an article, and maybe the audience can weigh in on this. Is there was a, just in the past week there was a headline that came out that talked about the number of children in detention facilities, and they said there were 100,000 kids in detention facilities. This was a report out of the UN. This was jumped on by Reuters, AP, and suddenly, quietly, within 24 hours, they withdrew those headlines when it all of a sudden was those were Obama-era numbers. These are from 2015, not 2019. Right. So the title of the article by Kyle Smith there in the New York Post was, "When the Villain is Obama, Not Trump, News Suddenly Becomes Not Worth Reporting."
But it's already been said.
Correct. It's been said, but they withdrew it.
Has those numbers gone down? Because we know that the president
Numbers went down.
Has been giving clemency and pardons to all kinds of people.
Plus, the number of kids in detention was significantly lower, even when the media was making a big fuss. But when I just want to make clear that when the media takes offense to the label fake news, the media has to understand that we don't mean it. What you're saying is false. What you're saying is misleading. You know, what they said was true. They reported a number, but when it was Obama's number, they didn't like retract it. They just withdrew the story.
Well, I think this goes to what we're seeing now with Michael Bloomberg in the race, presidential race. His organization, Bloomberg News, basically said they're not going to do any investigating reporting for Michael Bloomberg, which they didn't do when he was 12 years into the mayor of New York City. And so this cycle, they're not going to do any investigative report on him or any Democratic people running.
Well, that's nothing new, but they do on Trump.
But that's nothing new.
They weren't investigating Democrats anyway. So there's nothing new.
It's cream puff pieces. Speaking of Trump, and I'm sorry, we've had David on hold here for a little bit. David, happy Thanksgiving to you. What you wanted to call and talk about Trump?
Oh, yeah, I didn't realize you were up. A couple of things. First of all, his fleeing to Florida is so he can, when he gets extradited, his money stays there.
Right? Oh, my God.
Florida has protection.
Extradited? Indicted? What? For what?
You mean you've been running a news show for 3 years and you don't know the multitude of crimes that this guy's committed?
Well, give us one.
Yeah, that's all I asked.
Well, you know, you could start with you were claiming that the Russian collusion is not existent. That is such a big lie. I mean,
Mueller was wrong. Mueller was wrong, and he said there wasn't one.
Well, just tell us what the crime is there. Russian collusion. Just what's the crime that he's going to be charged with?
Kislyak. The guy has basically outsourced, in 2016, he outsourced his political campaign to a Russian oligarch.
Okay, that's incorrect. That's not true.
There's virtually no proof of that.
Oh, okay. So Kislyak, you ever heard of Kislyak?
Sure.
There's like hundreds of mentions of ties. Trump is in the same room with Kislyak. Kislyak is considered like the spy master of Russia. He's also the spy master banker of Russia. And Trump is not only dealing with him, but Manafort, Roger Stone, so many people on his political camp, Donnie Jr., Ivanka. All
right. Let me ask you this. Is when Obama was caught on hot mic right before the Crimean invasion, Russia invaded Crimea, and he was talking to Menendez, who is Putin's, I guess, left-hand man. I guess we're talking communism.
That's a good one.
And he said, I can be more flexible after the election. And then when Russia invaded Crimea and Obama did absolutely nothing, you're not opposed then for criminal charges being filed against Obama, are you?
Well, have you ever heard of Genie Oil Gas?
Well, I don't know. I thought it was a yes or no question. I mean, did you have a problem with that? Or what's the Huffington Post version of what that conversation was about?
Do you? You don't want an answer, do you?
No, I'm just. Are you opposed to him being criminally prosecuted for that?
Well, two answers. If Jimmy did it, is it okay for Johnny to do it? You learned that in kindergarten. You don't learn.
Well, Obama did it first, and the media and people like yourselves covered for him. I'm just curious. You know, since you want Trump so bad. And you're saying what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I guess what you're saying is what's not good for the goose is not good for the gander. We only want to talk about Trump. We don't want to talk about anything else that was going on. So
you're still saying if Jimmy can do it, Johnny can do it.
No, but you're saying
that. But you're also saying there's zero evidence. You have come and no one has any evidence, period. And that's the problem with all of this is what's the next story? you know.
No, I we appreciate the call. I really do. I wanted to give him more time, but we were just running in circles there. Marty, you've been on hold for a while. You wanted to talk about the meaning of Thanksgiving. Have we gone too far, or is are people like the previous caller correct that we should change Thanksgiving?
Well, I think the previous caller is his own best fan. And he's like his own star or own sun in his own galaxy. But Thanksgiving originally was to be thankful for what you have. And we've corrupted the meaning of Thanksgiving, where now a lot of people say Thanksgiving is watching football, eating too much and falling asleep. We're going to be blessed tomorrow to have Thanksgiving dinner with some friends in the area. And no matter what you have, even if when we were kids, some people complained that they had a hot dog for Thanksgiving. Well, that's better than some people starving in foreign countries. So you have to be thankful for what you have. But I wanted to mention that some ignorant people that I met in my travels think Thanksgiving is about honoring the pilgrims. We're not. We're being thankful for the harvest, thankful for everything else. And if you want to know how thankful you are, go down St. George Street in St. Augustine or an equivalent street in Jacksonville and see like homeless people out there. And then you say to yourself, I'm blessed. I'm very thankful. But, I mean, as far as it's this type of turkey or that type of turkey, whatever it is, if you're eating and you're with loved ones, then you got to be thankful. And it's not a matter of luck, but it's blessings. So, and I wish everybody in your audience a safe and a happy Thanksgiving, but under the context of being thankful, no matter what you have to eat, if it's a grilled cheese sandwich, and if you're on this side of the dirt, or as we call it, if you're not a member of Club Mud, then you have to be thankful. If you're standing on top of the dirt and walking around, you won the game. So anyway, that's
well said,
it.
And thank you.
Thank you, Marty. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. And Lake, you had mentioned to us earlier where the original Thanksgiving was. Where was that?
It was out at Fort Caroline, first one in the United States.
Then?
Was there. The second one was in St. Augustine.
Really?
It was in St. Augustine about September 10th, 1565. The Spanish went down. Mm. They had a big celebration. They invited the Native Americans to come and to celebrate with them. It was a big feast that they had down there.
I think it has a lot to do with crossing the ocean and being thankful that they are able to, you know, in another country and able to survive, because many people that came over at that time basically were still dying.
But we're talking about the beginning of it, but it started with George Washington. George Washington was having a day of thanks for us being a nation, for bringing us through the American Revolution and for God's providence upon our nation.
Yeah.
And then it actually became stated in a proclamation that went forward in 1863. It was Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham.
Well, you guys have great memories.
Well, I remember the Abraham Lincoln. It wasn't actually a holiday until then.
You were a kid then. Yeah, okay. I'm being funny.
Apparently no one's laughing here, except you and I.
All right, let's take a look at what's going on the roads this morning. 295 South St. Augustine, there has been a crash. The cars are now in the right emergency lane, and the FHP is helping out there. 10 East, mile marker 344. There's a broken down car in St. Johns County, 95 South. At State Road 207, there has been a wreck.
The IRS and state tax agencies don't wait until after the holidays to demand payment or take collection action. J. David Tax Law and our firm of experienced tax attorneys live and work in this community, and we're standing by to defend you or your business and any IRS or state tax debt. Helping people in our community is what we do. And in this season of giving, we invite you to join us in our support of worthy local charities like Dreams Come True, Sanctuary on 8th Street, Cars for Our Troops, Rethreaded, Faith for Freedom, and PAX's Canine Cure. These organizations do a wonderful job for those in need. At J. David Tax Law, we believe strongly in being a responsible corporate citizen by providing funding to charities that support our community. We invite you to do the same, and we wish you and your families a happy and safe holiday season. If you have tax problems, call us now at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777 for a no-cost consultation. Or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Florida's Everglades, a sportsman's paradise, an angler's wonderland, and a big part of Florida's economy. But today, Florida's Everglades is on life support. Florida is doing its part, but now the politicians in Washington are dragging their feet. Don't let Florida's Everglades get swamped by D.C. politics. Visit EvergladesFoundation.org to learn how you can help.
The 2019 Toys for Tots Car and Truck Show returns to the WW Ranch, featuring over 200 classic cars, hot rods, and custom trucks. Enjoy live music from Bo and the Burners, great food, and some of the most awesome cars and trucks around. To enter your car, bring a toy valued at $20. And for general admission, just bring a small toy or a canned food donation. The 2019 Toys for Tots Car and Truck Show, December 14th from 10 till 2. At the WW Ranch on Otis Road. For more info, call 463-4372. That's 463-4372.
If you know the value of good machines, then it's high time we got together. We're Bailey Industrial, builders of metal and woodworking equipment. Hardworking machines for hardworking people. We stand behind our equipment and make sure our equipment stands behind you with the after-sales support you need to keep your shop running smoothly, which means making sure you have what you need when you need it, typically shipping within 72 hours or less. So whether you're a fabricator or manufacturer of metal or wood products, go to 920machine.com and we'll send you a catalog, over 400 pages of what you love most, machines. So whatever you're looking to build or manufacture, do it with Bailey Industrial, the company you can trust to give you the equipment and service you can rely on. Because if it's worth doing right, it's only right to do it with Bailey. Get the Machine Lover's Dream Catalog free by calling 920-MACHINE or go to 920machine.com. Get your free catalog while they last at 920machine.com.
Today we'll see a mix of sunshine and cloudiness, a high of 79. This evening clear, 59 the low. And right now it's 51 at WBOB.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Ed Dean Show. This is Ron Davis. I am trying to cover and fill in the big shoes of Ed Dean. The call-in number, 904-831-0600. We've got a few questions that we've been outstanding. One is, are you cooking for Thanksgiving, or are you having it catered this year? The next question is where do you see the drama play out in the impeachment next? Is it, as Matt Schellenberg says, the drama is going to be that there will not be a vote that the House will not either not vote or not pass the impeachment. Or do you agree with me that the drama is how many Democrats are actually going to vote against impeachment? Or do you agree with Roger that the drama is going to be the actual hearings during the Senate? Give us a call in today. Let us know your thoughts.
Hey, Ron, I think that Lake sort of agrees with me. So there's actually two on my side.
I think you got to drag the drama out. If I'm taking Roger's position, and if I were sitting there as Adam Schiff, I would not want the Senate to take it up because they will excoriate him,
yes,
as well as all of the sham that's going on. And it's just a sham because it's all hearsay.
The mainstream media will provide so much cover.
Well, yes, but would you really want that to be played out in the Senate?
Yes.
And I think that's as much of a threat to them as it is politically.
And the word on the street is that Schiff will not be brought in to testify, but some of his staff could be brought in to testify if it makes it to the Senate, which I think it probably will.
To me, that would be the highlight, is if they could get Schiff to come in and testify.
But that's why it gets back to why I think Matt's right on this, and that's that they'll drag this out, or they'll say, well, we've got the evidence, but, you know, it's going to be lost in the Senate, therefore, you know, would just keep the conversation going. He should have been impeached, or we've got the information to impeach him. And you know,
do you think all those people, all those senators, are running for office? They want to be, you know, be dragged back to D.C. and have them opine on this? There's no way.
All right, so we have. Let's take a phone call here, Brian. You've been holding on for a few minutes here. You wanted to call in and talk about a food desert.
Yeah, I want to know what all this Thanksgiving in Providence mumbo jumbo is. Here in Jacksonville, Duval County, we can't have grocery stores without subsidization. I mean, so I don't understand it.
This
like,
is
what are y'all talking about, abundance and Thanksgiving?
Well, this is a question that came up last night in the council meeting, and I can give you some reference. Publix is leaving Gateway, and Winn-Dixie will willing to go in there if they subsidize it for $850,000, which is 40% of the actual renovation cost. By the way, it doesn't solve the problem, which is where there was $1.5 million in my term allocated for food desert to put it in areas in which it does not have a grocery store or a some kind of area in which to provide healthy food or just general food. Mm-hmm. I believe.
Now, wait a minute. I'm talking to two successful small businessmen. When I hear food desert, what I hear is opportunity. That is a dream for a grocery store. So why don't we actually pick at what the root cause is as to why Publix couldn't be profitable, being the only one in a desert amongst none, and that. But no one ever, and I'm talking to this council and I'm talking to the mayor, all you R's, y'all never want to get at the root cause, and through political pressure you just want to throw at money at consequences because of the root cause, and that is my biggest problem.
I agree with you on that basis, but it does not solve the problem. And I agree with you, even though there was money allocated, it wasn't allocated to replace something that already is existing. It is supposed to do something. And by the way, I said to the this area, the world is moving to delivery. Why aren't we delivering good food to this area of town?
Okay, well, we're still dancing. And Brian, thanks for the telephone call. We're still dancing around what Brian had said, and I think that was the point he was trying to make, is we're all dancing. We're not saying what the issue is. Food delivery in there, it's the same thing as pizza delivery in there. You're going to have robbery after robbery after robbery. What is the reason why there's a problem here? It's because it's not profitable or it's not safe to operate these stores in these areas. And the politicians are going to come in here and dance around it because we all know what the answer is.
I don't think it's a safety issue. I've never heard of any robbery
going on.
It is
a safety issue.
It is a safety
issue.
With delivery would be, but, you know, Publix, I never hear of anything.
In the parking lots, in the areas, the shoplifting, what happens is people come out, the robberies. There are so many other things that go into this. Now, everybody thinks it's just shoplifting inside the stores. That's a small component. Mm-hmm. It's what happens once you leave the store. It's when you go to the ATM and they follow you to the store because they know you got cash to go buy things, or they steal the things coming out. Those are the things that we don't hear about. Okay. The drug transactions that go in the parking places. Defense lawyer, I see these cases on a daily basis, and it's a cultural problem that we have. And any solution, and maybe I'll get myself in trouble talking about this, but any solution that we all try to come up with, if we don't address the problem, and Brian was right, we've all danced around it. It's a cultural problem in the neighborhoods. Until we solve that problem, you're not going to have profitable businesses in there that the community claims that are needed.
Well, all I can tell you is that this is historical, but I can tell you that there was a gas station up there and there was a restaurant up there that robbed continually, and ultimately they both bought guns to protect themselves. It didn't prevent them from happening, but that's a fear going back to why isn't the sheriff taking care of this issue and the mayor?
What are they supposed to do? They're supposed to park people down there. Then somebody has to pay for that.
I would flood the area with police.
All the police can do is
write a
police report after the fact. We need to get dads back committed to their families and not leaving these kids get their butts spanked when they're little.
I agree, but you still need to have policing down there and basically flood
and stand for the flag too.
You know, right? here's an issue. I know we got to wrap it up. Remember down in down south, when the kid robbed the house, got shot leaving, his family was upset because it was his God-given right to rob because that's the only way he could pay for school supplies. That's the problem. When there's a thought process that you have to steal, that it's acceptable to steal, that's the problem.
Okay, let's take a look at what's going on the roads this morning at 295 South St. Augustine, a crash with three cars involved.
Thomas Commentary is brought to you by Values Through Media. Now here's syndicated columnist Cal Thomas.
Foster Fries is a conservative leader. He's created a 10-minute video to rebut the claims of young people who believe socialism is better than capitalism. As they return from college for Thanksgiving, Fries rebuts the claims of professors that socialism is superior to capitalism. He notes that many young people point to the Nordic countries and their free health care. But he also points out that Denmark, to take just one example, has a 60% income tax and a 25% sales tax, along with other taxes. Free health care isn't free. Anyone who thinks government-run health care is a good idea should look at the Veterans Administration and the poor care government gives to the Indians. What about free education, and why is it now so expensive? Answer, the government got involved with grants and subsidies, colleges that increased tuition and fees. Again, nothing is free, and if socialists win, taxes will be raised to pay for it. Watch Foster Freeze's great video and share it with your socialist children and grandchildren. It's on YouTube. Search Foster Freeze, F-R-I-E-S-S. I'm Cal Thomas.
For a free copy of today's commentary, visit calthomas.com or write us at Values Through Media, P.O. Box 373340, Key Largo, Florida 33037. That's P.O. Box 373340, Key Largo, Florida 33037. Please specify the date and subject. Your tax-deductible gifts to Values Through Media help support us. Listen again next time for the Cal Thomas Commentary.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so...
Welcome back to the Ed Dean Show. Ron Davis covering for Ed Dean. We have Matt Schellenberg, Lake Ray, and Roger Henderson. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Keith?
Yes, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving, and oftentimes preparing a meal is a high honor, something that people get a lot of satisfaction out of. But I'd like to take a second to recognize the people who work to make that happen. The people who entertain the guests while the kitchen is going, or, you know, while the kitchen is hard at work, and the people who prevent the really small children from becoming trip hazards for the chefs in the kitchen.
Thank you, Keith. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
I'm going to thank the Detroit Lions there for a second.
And Dana, I'm sorry we didn't get to you. We will try to get to you the next time you call in. I want to thank everybody. I want to thank Ed Dean for allowing me to fill in. Matt, Lake, thank you for coming in and making this a lot easier for me. Happy Thanksgiving.